In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What a delight it is to be with you again this morning. We've got a beautiful day and lots to give thanks for. In the epistle for today, from the letter to the Ephesians, we read, "Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the Phillips translation of that. What would you say is the surest mark of the Christian? The little five-year-old was asked to say grace one evening for dinner, and the family members all bowed their heads and listened as he began by saying, "Thank you, God, for all my friends," and then he named them one by one. And then he said, "Thank you for Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa," and then, well, he hesitated a little bit, "and for my sister." And then finally he got to the food, and he said, "Thank you, God, for the dessert and the salad, for the meat and the potatoes," and he paused, and they waited, and they waited. And then he scrunched up his face, lifted his head, and looked at his mother and said, "Wouldn't God know it? I lied if I said thanks for the Brussels sprouts?" Well, honesty is not the surest mark of the Christian, but it's on the way. Suppose there were a pill that you could take that would help you prefer a better diet and more exercise. And suppose the pill also helped you avoid depression and even made you feel like praying more often. And suppose the pill had been cleared so that there's no side effect from it. Would you like to take that pill? Well, the bad news is there's no such pill. The good news is that you can have all those blessings without any pill at all. That's the surest mark of the Christian. What is it? Some might say it's faith. Others might say it's love. But even those wonderful virtues are not the surest mark of the Christian, nor is the attitude of gratitude, which St. Paul recommends so strongly in today's epistle. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reared in a family of devout atheists, and as a newly baptized Christian, someone told me that I was a sinner. Well, of course, I better quit gesturing. Somebody told me I was a sinner, and of course I rejected that idea, until that person told me that a sinner is somebody who puts self first. Well, I had to admit I was guilty of that. And then one day somebody gave me a rosary, but it came without an instruction manual. So I stuck it under my pillow, and when I got in bed at night, I tried to think of sins that I had committed during the previous day. And as you know, a rosary is a circle of beads with five decades of beads and a crucifix hanging from it. And so I would count those sins one by one until I got to 50, and then I would say the Lord's Prayer and go to sleep. But it occurred to me after some months of doing that, that maybe if I was spending that much time thinking about sin, I was probably getting better and better at it. So I decided to change and start counting thanksgivings. And so I would count 50 thanksgivings before I fell asleep. And that changed my life. That began to erase the frown and put a smile on my face. And that boosted my growth in faith. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude shifted my focus from myself to others and helped me make a conscious habit of expressing thanks and appreciation for others as well as for Christ's presence in my life. Gratitude, that increases compassion and self-care. That's not the surest mark of the Christian either, but it leads to it. Have you got it yet? What is the surest mark of the Christian? The first time I recall going to church was when my father's parents came to visit us one time, and they wanted to go to church on Sunday. Well, we never did that, so my mother checked around and she found a place that she thought might be appropriate, and Dad stayed home, but the rest of us went. And I remember nothing about the service except what my mother reported afterwards. She said that I said to her afterwards, "Mom, why was that man so mad at us?" Well, that seems like a betrayal. That stern attitude is a betrayal of Christ's love. But it's not uncommon. It kept me away from the church throughout my youth. The surest mark of the Christian is not the fear of hell, but it is joy. Joy is the surest mark of the Christian. Theologian Paul Tillich, who was called to teach at Harvard while I was still a student there, asked, "Is our lack of joy due to the fact that we are Christians or to the fact that we are not sufficiently Christian?" Some may argue that we have no right to joy when there's so much conflict and pain and sorrow in the world. And they'd be right if our joy means we're indifferent to human tragedy. But what if our joy is instead a remedy for the suffering of the world? What if joy is a part of God's medicine for the pain of the world? Was anybody ever so burdened as Jesus with broken relationships? And yet after teaching his disciples about God's love and the advantages of keeping his commandments, he explained, "I have said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Joy in Christ can't be faked like people who smile with their lips but not with their eyes. That kind of phony joy is a turnoff. But Christ's joy is infectious. It's contagious. When we find ourselves overwhelmed with burdens and worried about tomorrow, and we can praise God for who he is and for his promise never to leave or forsake us. And today's epistle ends with the wonderful words, "giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Louise Hansen was the wife of one of the clergy on my staff many years ago, and she was hospitalized with a critical illness. The surgery cut her almost in half from one side to the other, and she was in terrible pain. But her hospital roommate was so moved by her post-op cheerfulness that she was converted to Christ. A few months later, Louise had another operation, and they cut the other half. And that created more pain and slower healing. But Louise was a witness to joy again and converted that roommate. I was witness to all three women and what they experienced by my calls to Louise as she was recovering from each operation. And I saw the joy for myself in all three of them. Their joy was contagious. Christian joy is a consequence of loving God. Canon Sam Shoemaker, an Episcopal priest who died when I was newly ordained, was one of the great preachers of his day, and he wrote this: "Christ will not make life easy, he will make it great. As you walk with him, he will fill your heart with a thankfulness that is overflowing and a joy that this world can neither give nor take away." Perhaps you'll join me in thanking God for a very special joy in my life. Her name is Elizabeth, with whom I was joined in marriage 62 years ago, this very day. We'll be celebrating the joy of that blessing later today. So what's the surest mark of the Christian? It's joy. I pray that you may know the joy of Christ's love this day and all the days of your life. Amen.